Years ago, I remember going to see a friend because she had fallen, which for a 10-year-old running in the backyard is no big deal. But later on in life, a fall can be rather serious. And she had just celebrated her 80th birthday, still telling the stories about how many family members came into town to celebrate with her. And just a couple weeks after the party, she was in her kitchen, reaching up for something on the second shelf, and she slipped. She said, "I just moved too quickly. I wasn't thinking through everything I was doing." Now that can happen to any of us at any age. But later in life, we learn the value of what it means to think through what we are doing with greater care. And Advent is a season that slows us down to regain our bearings and to think through everything we do with greater care, that we can move so fast that we lose sight of which direction we are headed. And Advent is a compass that calls us to regain those bearings, like the psalmist that holds out this compass and says, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." It's a specific calling to go to Jerusalem, to visit the temple, which was a symbol of God's faithfulness and care, of God's promise, saying, "I will be your God and you will be my people." That the people of God would look to Jerusalem and it would change their bearings. That when they walked through the city gates, they felt as if they stepped onto holy ground. So the psalmist says, "Let us go to the house of the Lord and pray for peace." And the people of God were no strangers to violence. They still had memories of the Assyrian invasion and how terrible it was. They still remembered the Babylonians invading the city and destroying the temple. They still told those stories. They still mourned those losses. They still held on to that anger. And yet, the psalmist says, "Let us pray for peace." That is the stubbornness of Advent. To look towards what feels unattainable. And perhaps we all have those yearnings down deep inside of us that we could never disown because they're imprinted on our lives in the image of God that is within us, that we cannot help but pray for relief from pain, release from bondage, forgiveness from sin, peace from violence. That it's found deep within us. And Jesus gives those yearnings a name when he talks about the kingdom of God, what God hopes for this world, that Advent helps us regain those bearings. And when Mary was expecting a child, unsure of what the future would bring, I hope her friends gave her the same support that others have given those expecting a child, never mentioning the labor pains, but instead talking about the gift of a child. That instead of talking about the contractions, I hope they talked about the boundless joy of holding that infant in your arms. I hope they refrained from talking about all of the hard work that comes from that boundless joy. You know, waking up at 3 a.m., nudging the person next to you, trying to decide whose turn it is to change the diaper, or what it feels like to wake up exhausted. But what nobody tells you about any of the hard work in this life when it comes to caring for somebody else, whether it is friend or family, stranger or family of faith, is that the hard work deepens our joy. When I was in college, I signed up to work as a camp counselor one summer. Wonderful job. Where else do you get up and you don't have to brush your hair to go to work? And I had a cabin of 8-year-old boys. Eye-opening experience. The one camper I will never forget. It's the hardest camper I had all summer. Every day was another problem, another challenge, another crisis. I did not know if I was going to make it. Whereas most campers sign up for 2 weeks, he was signed up for 4. And then, in that 4th week, the camp director pulled me aside and said his parents signed him up for 2 more weeks. I had him the majority of the summer. 6 weeks. Well, the morning finally arrived where I set my alarm early because I had to get up and help him get his luggage together and out to the front door of the camp office where he was going to meet his ride that was taking him to the airport. And as we loaded up his luggage in the trunk of that car, when it pulled away, I was completely caught off guard because I was full of sadness. I did not realize that the hard work of caring for others, of making those sacrifices, of bearing that stress, deepens our joy. And Advent helps us regain those bearings. Where Isaiah is bold enough to say, in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. That we are to climb that mountain of hope and to look out and see a vision of God's peace for this world. That it's the hard work of climbing that mountain. And then Isaiah says, the people will beat their swords into plowshares. Now, not growing up on a farm, I did not realize that the plowshare is the part of the plow, the cutting edge, the hardest metal that digs into the ground, turning up the soil for the promise of new life. That is the hard work of Advent. And it deepens our joy. And hope. Hope can seem rather dangerous. It's like TNT. It is powerful. I'll never forget, as a boy, watching a friend lighting a firecracker. But this was different. I had seen people light firecrackers before, place them on the ground, sort of lean over as far as they could to light it, and then run as fast as they could in the other direction. Well, this person was holding the firecracker in his left hand and lighting it with his right hand. And he was going to light it and throw it in the air and watch it explode. The problem is every fuse is different. Some of them burn faster than others. And I'll never forget the pain on his face. when it exploded in his hand. He wasn't hurt permanently, but he never lit a firecracker again. Well, hope can feel dangerous. Like we don't want to get too close to it, because if we pray and hope for relief, there's more disappointment in the face of pain. And if we pray for peace with all of our being, we mourn the violence even more. But Advent reminds us, hope cannot wait. Last year, on the fourth and final Sunday of Advent, I was sitting in the pews and a child of the church leaned over to me and said, "Why is the hope candle the smallest?" Well, it was the fourth Sunday of Advent. We had been moving through the season, slowly but surely regaining our bearings, remembering and recalling the hope, peace, joy, and love of God. We had lit the love candle that morning, so I said, "Well, it's because hope burns the longest." That hope carries us through the entire journey. In the face of disappointment, hope keeps us going. Whenever we are weary, hope stirs our souls and renews us yet again. That in the face of the violence, tragedy of this world, hope holds us up as we pray for peace. Hope burns the longest. So let us yet again go to the house of the Lord. Let us climb the highest mountain and look out and imagine the peace of God. Let us pray for what seems unimaginable and then live as if it is already true. Let us turn up that ground for the promise of new life. Let us lean into the hope of God. Because in the face all of the pain and suffering in this world, one thing is absolutely true. Hope cannot wait. Amen.